where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Key Republicans are welcoming the Supreme Court decision upholding President Trump's travel ban on visitors from mostly Muslim countries. They say it will help to stop terrorism. And with a decision today, the Chief Justice John Roberts spoke for the majority, saying that it is not implied that it is racist or discriminating against Muslims. He says, in fact, it is not beyond the president's right to impose such a travel ban. Also, the High Court today ruling 5-4 that a California law violates the Constitution when it tries to force pro-life pregnancy centers to inform their clients about abortion options, a law that has been in effect in California since 2016 and also in two other states, Hawaii and Illinois. Asian markets were mostly lower on trade fears today, but on Wall Street, it's been a strong session. The Dow is up 67 points, about a half hour away from the closing bell. This is SRN News.
An accident on the West Beltway, 295 northbound, the ramp to Collins Road. That off-ramp right lane is blocked. That'll slow you down there. Also, an accident on the West Beltway northbound just before Old St. Augustine Road in the Mandarin area. And a couple of accidents, I-95 southbound, one the ramp from Emerson, another one near Butler Boulevard. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, some heavy through this evening, low 74. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high 93.
Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show, hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. It's John Beener. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Inspiration 316. Hey, we're all about the good news of Jesus Christ. Everyday miracles happening in people's lives. Savior, we're trying to find who shot who murdered who. We don't cover that stuff. We cover the turnaround stories from people who do that. But as God is in the healing business, the restoration business. But we have an incredible guest here with us today, Roger Henderson, who is probably one of the statesmen for radio in Jacksonville, Florida, particularly Christian radio. And we're going to get a chance to interview him, find out about his life and the ups and downs and the goods and how he's what he's enjoyed most in doing in Christian radio. And so it's going to be an exciting interview because you've heard him on the radio already. He is that smooth voice guy that's there all the time. He talks about all kinds of things. And does commercials, he does the weather, he does all kinds of stuff. So, Roger, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm surprised you invited me to be on the program, but I said, okay, well, here I am.
Here you are.
You're saying all these kind things about me. I think I think you're being too generous, but thank you anyway.
No, I'm not. I think you and I met probably, I would say, back in 1990 or maybe a little earlier than that.
Okay.
Yeah, and you might... There you go. So that was back at on St. John's Bluff at the radio station. What was it called there?
Well, initially it was WNCM FM 88. That was years ago.
FM 88. Okay. Well, that's good. FM 88. I remember that station. I remember Steve Guilin well, of course.
Yes.
You and Calvin were there at that station together, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. In
fact, were you the first employee or what?
I was not. The station had, in fact, been on the air for about 4 years before I even came to Jacksonville.
Oh, really?
I was, at the time the station went on the air, was a teenager working in secular radio in Atlanta.
No kidding.
And through a course of events, I ended up in Jacksonville, a member of the church at the time that owned the station. And I knew they owned the radio station. There are certain things I liked about it. Other times I didn't. Listen that much,
uh-huh.
but never imagined to be frank with you, that I'd ever end up working at the station, because I just didn't think it was for me, didn't want to work there. And
really?
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't. I had no interest.
Now 50 years later, you say, wow.
Exactly.
Not exactly that
long. They say one of the ways sometimes you can tell whether or not God wants you to do something is that you don't want to do it. And then he changes
Definitely,
your heart.
Definitely, yeah. I can attest to that myself, uh-huh. too. The things I had started, I had sold a business that God had led me to, because he called me out of it. And then I had, okay, God, I've got three plans of what I want to do. And the first two never worked out, but his plan, number three, which I didn't want to do, worked mm-hmm. out and still working today. So I can attest to that. So anyway, were you raised in Atlanta then, or what?
No, born just outside of Chicago. So you and I,
that's right,
same parts of the country. And yeah. then parents broke up, unfortunately, when I was just a young guy, 6 years old.
Really?
And my mother had three kids at this time, and I was number two. She didn't want to be someone who depended on government assistance, so she went back to college and earned her four-year degree in
wow.
3 years.
Wow.
As a graduation gift, my grandparents said, you know what, you did a lot of work raising these kids, and of course they helped a lot, but we want to congratulate you on getting your degree early and being a single mom, and I'm going to send you to the Virgin Islands with your older sister, my Aunt Nancy, for a few weeks just to unwind, have some fun, and to celebrate getting your degree. Huh. So she and my Aunt Nancy went down to St. Croix, Virgin Islands, for a few
really?
Weeks.
Wow.
And to make it could be a longer story shorter, that's where we ended up moving as a result of that vacation trip that she
yeah,
took.
About that.
Yeah, so I lived there up until the age of 18.
Wow.
And went away to college in Atlanta, and that's how I ended up in college in Atlanta.
Wow, how about that? Why? I mean, you have such articulate language. I mean, the way you speak is, and your voice and all of that is perfect for radio, but I mean, you have no Caribbean accent that I can pick up. You don't have a Chicago accent either. You probably do, but I don't,
right. That's
I don't
a,
hear it.
That really, I believe, is a factor of moving around. You
okay.
know, one of my hobbies, by the way, is to listen to people talk and try to figure out where they're from. And I'm usually right 7 out of 10 times, at least the
that?
Region of the country they're from, uh-huh. just by hearing them talk.
Uh-huh.
And but you can't tell with military kids or people who've moved around a lot. I wasn't military, but I did move from Chicago to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And then at a very early age, like starting in, I think, the 8th grade is when I started having an interest in broadcasting. So I, on purpose at that point, tried to have this national professional sound and began working on it, you know, then to try to sound as, you know, non-regional
yeah.
as I could,
okay,
because
okay.
I thought I was going that way, at least to some extent.
When you were 8 years old, you said?
Eighth grade.
Okay.
So I guess that was, what, 14, 13?
Yeah, 14, probably so, yeah.
yeah.
But then you went to Atlanta to go to college, is that what you said?
Or yeah, uh-huh. I went to, it's called Clark Atlanta University.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, they have their own radio station, their own TV station, and they had a reputation of having a decent broadcast program, a media program. So I applied and was accepted. And because I'd worked in radio since I was in high school, I started it. The interest started in 8th grade, but I finally got my first job in high school. I walked in through the doors and they gave me a job on the college station.
No kidding.
Yeah.
This is in the Virgin Islands?
No, this was in Atlanta.
I
actually jumped ahead.
Okay.
You know, I think, John, every radio station, to be frank with you, that I've been at for any length of time, I didn't have to apply the normal way. Normally, I just walk through the door and say, I'd like to work here.
Uh-huh.
Or in one case, one station I worked for, they called me. Someone
yeah.
heard me on another radio
yeah.
station and contacted me, and I ended up working for them.
Yeah. I mean, you have such a smooth voice. I mean, it's perfect for radio, obviously. So, and you have a great face, too, for television. You just haven't had that opportunity, right?
Well, I haven't. You know what? I don't know. You know, I've never been, as far as my face on television, I have done what's called voiceovers for TV
okay,
stations.
Okay.
I've been on national cable channels.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, Tonight at 8, right here on whatever channel it was.
Okay.
And I've done commercials that have played on cable TV stations that have run all over the country
mm-hmm.
and all over
mm-hmm.
North America, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But never in front of the camera where you see me, at least not yet.
Okay. So is your mom still down there in the Virgin Islands?
No, she's not. In fact, I just got off the phone with her about 20 minutes ago before you grabbed me. She relocated to Central Florida.
Okay.
You know, all the kids were either in Florida. I have one sister in Louisiana, and she wanted to be closer to us and her grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So she moved to Florida, have a sister and a brother in the Orlando area. Uh-huh. And as I mentioned, a sister in New Orleans. She figured that would be a good central location with transportation, the bigger airport, and that kind of thing. So she lives in Kissimmee.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
She still owns her home in the Virgin Islands, though. And she says anytime any member of the family wants to go back and stay there for a couple of weeks or even longer than that, you know, here are the keys.
Okay. How about that? That's nice to be able to do.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So you're married and you have some kids of your own, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I am watching them grow up's tough, you know.
watching them,
I've got four daughters.
Okay. Wow. Great.
My oldest is a registered nurse.
Wow.
And she's currently working for Stanford Hospital in the San Francisco Bay Area in California.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's a travel nurse, so they sent her on these one-year assignments. They worked out something where she could stay for 2 years. They've offered her a job to stay there permanently, but she wants to come back home to be closer to her family and her sisters. But so she's there. I've got another daughter who's an engineer at JEA.
Oh, okay.
I've got another daughter who runs the contact lens department for a local optometry chain here in the area.
Wow.
And my youngest daughter works at a local hospital, and she is in school to become a dental hygienist and maybe eventually a dentist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
But two have moved out, and one's engaged.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm old!
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. So tell us again about some of those early days in radio, because in this area, our city of Jacksonville, I mean, back in Northeast Florida, you guys were pioneers in Christian music, weren't you?
Yeah.
Even Christian program of any kind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my first radio station that I was actually working for in the islands, they played Caribbean music throughout the day and a little bit of American Top 40 mixed in with it. But on Sundays, they played faith-based programming.
Really?
And that was when I was there. I had a friend
who had a
weekend job there, and he would bring me with him, and he would allow me to, you know, turn the knobs and press the buttons, and then eventually he would leave me there at the station by myself.
Really?
With instructions, do not answer the phone, because if the boss calls, I'm in trouble.
So wow, that's what an introduction that is.
Exactly, that's how I started. And then fast forward, you know, I guess this was, 7-8 years later, I'm in Jacksonville now at a station that 24/7 is a faith-based station.
Uh-huh.
And at that time was the only faith-based music station on the FM dial. Played some programs, but mostly music, and made an impact. It was interesting. Yeah, I got hired there. Like I mentioned, I was a member of the church. Picked up the telephone one day. I really felt God was telling me to volunteer.
Really?
And I was resisting. I didn't want to do it. And eventually I gave in and called in and said, hey, if you guys want to use me, I'll work there if you want me to, Lord. And and they offered me a full-time job, which is what I was not expecting.
No kidding.
Over the phone, before I had a chance to explain to them, I'd worked in radio since I was in high school.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. And what was it late? Title of that station?
It was FM 88 WNCM at the time.
FM 88. I remember that
now. Right. And then they changed imagery to The River.
The River, yes.
Right. Okay. Later. But it was initial. But at that time, it was FM 88. So.
Yeah. And I have to remember the pastor that started all of that is still around, isn't he?
Yeah, Wiley Tomlinson.
Yeah, Wiley Tomlinson, yes.
Yeah, he was a young guy at the time in his 30s and had a vision of putting a radio station on the air. A
lot of guts on his part, right? Yeah.
And he told me he would drive around with the dial with the radio, his radio in his car set to the frequency, 88.1, and would listen to static. It would, by faith, you know.
He was claiming
it. He was imagining he was listening to his station, and eventually it came to pass, yeah.
Wiley Thomas, that's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, then, was your theme Christian music at the time, or was it? Was it a combination of that as well as interviews or talk, or how do you?
They did a combination. It was mostly music.
Okay.
But the church, of course, put their services on the air.
Right.
And then they allowed people like you talked about, Dr. Guyland and other, what's called long form ministry programs, interview type programs, and even some preaching segments that ran between the songs sometimes. So they had certain hours that were blocked off for what they called teaching and ministry programs, but it was mostly music.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, I remember some of those days because they had it. The radio station was kind of back where the you would think the classrooms would be from the church, you mm-hmm. know. But they still have those flags out front, I think, don't they?
Yeah, they have the flags out front, and
there's a school in there now too.
Yeah, I think
Harvest School.
That's I think the studios where the radio stations were located in, they've sold those buildings.
Okay,
I think, but you know, it doesn't really matter where the building is. Yeah. You know, it's what's going over the air.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. That's stations, I think, back on the air, isn't it? Because it did get sold eventually, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. The ownership, you can't really, you know, sell a nonprofit, but the control of it changed from one nonprofit to another.
Okay.
In fact, the group that owns this station acquired uh-huh. that station. Okay. And that's how, you know, we're all here today. I really haven't had to look for a new job in radio since, you know, my early 20s when I started out there because the ownership transferred. Now, we now have seven different radio stations.
Right, yeah.
So they've moved me around.
Through Salem,
within,
yes.
Yeah, right. They've moved me around within the company, but they it's essentially the same organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the most memorable things that you've experienced during your time in radio?
Wow. Probably my most memorable experience I've had, you know, overall in radio was the time I was on the air playing music one night, and I got a telephone call from a gentleman who said that he doesn't know why he was calling me, but he just wanted me to know that he was going to take his life.
Okay.
He said he tried to take his life several times in the past and would wake up in the hospital or in a straitjacket, or, you know, someone would come and find him. And this time he was going to, quote, do it right. Mm. So I said, what do you mean by that? Don't take your life. He said, no. I've already made my mind up. I've purchased a 9mm gun. It's loaded. It's in my pocket. I'm in front of a convenience store. I'm going to kill people first, then I'm going to pull the gun on myself. That way I know I'm going to have to go through with it.
Yeah.
And I said, no, don't do that. So I'm trying to talk him off. He knows if I put him on hold, I'm immediately calling the police. So I didn't want to do that. So I grabbed I tried to get someone else's attention. The station was owned by a church at the time. So there were people around. If I could find someone close to where I was in the studio. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get anyone's attention without putting on hold. So I grabbed the garbage pail that was in the studio. Thankfully, the door was open. I threw it out the door into the lobby. Someone walked in, and that's when I could start writing notes explaining what was going on. One of the other people with the church was able to get the police on the line. They traced the telephone call.
Wow.
And he was in front of what was then called a Jiffy Mart, which was
really?
one of the convenience stores, gas station convenience stores in the area.
Huntley Jiffy Foods.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And the police, about 40 minutes later, finally, I was able to keep them on the phone that long. Thank the Lord.
Wow, amazing.
I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Police officer picked up the phone. Hello, this is Officer such and such. Who is this? So I said, this is Roger at the radio station, 88.1. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Hands the phone back to the guy. So then I'm completely losing. I said, why did he do that? So I'm passing notes back to the other guy. The police just picked up the phone, then gave the phone back. You know, so they came back out. The guy went inside, the police officer went inside the store. He apparently didn't know what was going on fully. I don't know.
He just had an emergency call to get
right,
out there.
And then once he talked to me, he figured out everything was okay. And had that soothing effect a little bit too much, I guess. Uh-huh. Came back out. Did a routine search of the guy, found a loaded 9mm gun in his pocket. And he could have taken out in the glass front of the store. He could have killed dozens of people, and they would not have known what hit them.
Wow.
So fortunately, that was averted. I don't know whatever happened to the guy. But, yeah, that was probably my most memorable experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What year was that?
90s, I think. I forget. I think I'm guessing 92, maybe.
92?
90, somewhere in the 90s.
Do you know what part of town it would have been or anything like that?
I'm guessing, I think it was on the west side, I think.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I'm guessing it was, I may be wrong on the year. Uh-huh. And somewhere in the 90s, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a miracle.
So there are people who are alive today who don't even know how close they came to eternity.
Right. Yeah.
And
it was at 9 o'clock at night, I think you said?
Or roughly, yeah. Roughly 7 to 8, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Maybe 8:30, somewhere around the time.
Okay. But it was probably dark out at the time.
Oh, it was definitely night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a miracle story. So you must have been praying and talking at the same time. Lord, help me with this. What am I going to do? How is this going to work out?
Yeah, know? Well, I had to keep the guy on the phone the entire time. The moment I said, hold on a minute, he would have immediately be cued into the fact that I was
trying to get somebody
to stop him. So he wouldn't allow me to get off the phone. So I had to just sit there and, you know, have a conversation with this guy for 40 minutes before the police arrived.
So you threw the garbage can, the wastebasket, evidently, out the door, and somebody finally said, what is going on out here? And so they came. So there was somebody else
in there. There's garbage flying everywhere up and down the halls. But I had to get their attention somehow. Right. There's no other way I could do it. I couldn't go on the air and say anything because he would have heard that. I couldn't put him on hold. I couldn't say 1 minute, please, or any of that. I had to continually stay on the phone with him until the police arrived, and I had to figure out a creative way to do that.
So now he was on a cell phone, obviously.
No, he was at, a long time ago, John, back when you and I were just kids, there used to be something called a phone booth.
Oh, and yeah.
This was before the
cell
phone.
Yes, I remember that.
And before iPhones, there were phone booths.
No kidding. Phone booth. He was in a phone booth.
Yeah, call from the phone booth, yeah.
So did he say why he called? He just wanted to have the last word?
Yeah, he said he was killing himself. Didn't know why he called me, but he just wanted to let me know that he was getting ready to punch out and he was going to take some people with him.
So it was a call-in show, evidently.
No, it was not. I was playing songs.
But he must have written down the number somehow as a call-in number or something.
Well, every radio station has a phone number that they take requests and that kind of thing, and that was the number he called in on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And were you playing Christian music?
Absolutely. Okay. Uh-huh.
And so had he talk about why he was going to take his life? You asked him all those questions or none?
I think it had to do with depression and mental illness and not being stable and not wanting to live anymore, that general thing.
Yeah. We had a story that's the most phenomenal one I've ever heard, where a guy tried to commit suicide 16 times. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't do it. He'd been in an automobile accident. He was in a wreck, and he was paralyzed. And so he was in a wheelchair all the time, you know. So he tried to commit suicide 16 times, and each time it would not work, you know. Mm-hmm. And finally, some guy just invited him to go to church, and he ends up going kind of resentfully or whatever. But the pastor kind of seeks him out at the church and prays for him. And all of a sudden, he's got more mobility than he had ever had before. And then he goes back the next Sunday, and he is prayed for again, and he's completely healed. He's walking out of his wheelchair completely, and he's then doing different jobs. And he was a painter, and then he became a barber in a barber shop. And he had this young kid come in and get his hair cut, and the kid was telling about how his mom was sick and she'd got cancer and all that kind of stuff. And he then tells him his story. And so I tried to commit suicide 16 times. God healed me. You know what I mean? This is a miraculous thing, all that kind of stuff. And he says, oh, my mom, you know, she's going to be unfortunately dying of cancer. They don't think she's going to live another 2 weeks. And we're praying that she would live that long because Thanksgiving's coming up and all that.
Right.
And he said, well, I'll tell you what, right now, in the name of Jesus, she is healed in the name of Jesus. So he gets very bold in his prayer, you know, and commands God's Holy Spirit to take effect, you know, and do the healing that needs to be done. And the guy is kind of inspired, leaves the barber shop, you know, gets out, calls his dad and said, Dad, you won't believe it. I was with this guy in the barber shop, you know, and he said, Mom's going to be healed. And the dad says, yeah, I know. I'm at the doctor's office. They just did the scans again and they can't find any more cancer in her body.
That's great.
And so the story goes on. This is just part of his story. Mm-hmm. The story goes on that a week later, this older guy shows up with this lady and the young kid and said, oh, by the way, this is my dad. And he says, are you the guy that did this, prayed for my wife? You know what I mean? Yes, sir, I am the one. You know, well, she's healed. Here she is right now. And she's, thank you very much. Thank you. I feel so much better, Bubba. And, you know, so they had a reunion right there. That's just one of the episodes that went through this guy's life. But, I mean, what God can do through healing, right? What he can do through committing suicide and all the garbage you can throw at yourself or let the enemy throw at you, he can do the healing. That's very exciting stuff.
Yeah. I would like to, you know whatever happened to that gentleman, but I had no contact with him out of that.
Did you ever get his name or anything?
If I did, I didn't think to write it down. I was just trying to stop him from killing other people and get the police there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And, of course, they took him to some facility, I'm sure, where he could be Baker acted. But, never heard whatever happened to him.
Yeah.
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 You know, obviously, I talked to him a little bit and about the Lord and, you know, a lot, actually, over that 40 minutes. And, you know, didn't want to, you know, from what I gather, you know, he would either somewhat reconsidered or was at least delaying it because he was planning on doing it right then when we first started talking.
Well, at least he didn't murder other people doing
exactly,
it. Right, yeah. Yeah, that's very exciting. That's a powerful story. That's a great testimony for the Lord, right?
Yeah. It's probably kind of most memorable experience.
Yeah, it makes radio all worthwhile when you just influence one person like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what show have you enjoyed the most? Because you've done lots of different shows where you've hosted things and probably even interview shows yourself and music shows and stuff like that. Which one has given you the greatest satisfaction through the years?
Gosh, you know what? I really can't say. You know,
two or three that might come to mind.
Well, I think probably when the earliest days at
FM 88
were probably the most rewarding because we could see the impact we were making. We were constantly involved.
You were shaking up the community.
Yeah, we were
really
involved heavily in the community. You know, there wasn't an event that, you know, was a major event in the city, from Billy Graham's crusade to the Promise Keepers to, you know, the March for Jesus events that, you know, the whole body of Christ would come together and rally around, that we weren't, you know, the pivot point, that the rally point where all the body of Christ would kind of rally around, it seemed.
You were or were not?
We were okay, at that time. So I think that was probably most rewarding.
And that would have been in the early 90s or that would have been in the 80s?
Throughout the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, throughout the 90s.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that obviously that you guys were the pioneers for Christian radio in this city, right? Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because there was nothing else going on.
And now there's got to be six or seven different.
There's Christian radios all over the dial now. So, but yeah, back then we were pretty much the only game in town, for lack of terms, better terms.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some other stations that, you know, focused primarily on long form ministry, but, you know, for us, music and, you know, had the attention of most of the community. I think that was us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah. The River. I remember it well. You know, and again, Steve Guiland, you got to know him probably fairly well. He was an amazing guy.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure he's still around or not.
Oh, yes. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I hear good things about him, even as recently as a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's in his 90s by now.
Yes.
But, I mean, he's the one that really was instrumental in me coming to Christ.
Really?
Because it was through a television show that he'd sponsor on the Christian station. It was Channel 47 at the time. The McGee family really put it together. And I was in despair, and I'd been attacked by the enemy and saw demons, all this other kind of stuff. And I prayed, didn't know what was going on, and I had all kinds of doubts and worries. And I saw this Christian interview where this man said, you know, I turned my life over to Christ, and that made the difference in my life. And that's what actually changed me, because I figured if you had a pastor or a priest say something, you know, they get paid to say those things. Mm-hmm. But from a businessman, that was a testimony that just rung in my heart.
Right. I remember a conversation because he was doing television and radio at the same time. I asked him what the big differences were. He says, we get more response from radio than anything.
Wow.
Even more so. And television was a lot more expensive than being on the radio. Yeah. But he said the greatest impact he ever got was from being on the radio.
Well, great. Well, that's Bob Dylan you're hearing in the background. We're going to have to take a break here with Roger Henderson, the famous broadcaster, comedian, dancer, singer from Salem group. And we'll be back in a short minute or two. We got to take a break. You're going to have to serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord.
Look out for a crash near downtown on I-95 northbound just beyond I-10. Another crash on I-95 southbound, the exit at Phillips Highway. We've got a report of a disabled vehicle on Butler Boulevard eastbound at the Intercoastal, and a crash on San Jose Boulevard southbound at Haley Road, blocking the right lane. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, some heavy through this evening. Low 74. Wednesday, mostly sunny. High 93.
Welcome back. This is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We got an amazing show here today. We're with Roger Henderson. He is a famous broadcaster here in Jacksonville that's been on the air for now.
That's a good question.
How many years has it been?
For money or just hanging out at stations? I think my first paid job, I was in high school, and that was in the early 1980s.
Wow.
So, okay. 35, something like that.
40 years almost by now.
Wow, yeah. Man, I'm old, John.
Well, you don't hardly have any gray hair, so that's a good thing. Yeah. Well, you were back in the early days. We talked about at the River, mm-hmm. and Wiley Tomlinson started FM 88, and they did a good job now. There's a whole group of stations here that are Christian stations owned through or affiliated with the Salem Group. And that's who we're affiliated with, Delmarva, which is a nonprofit organization, The Truth. And so, it's exciting to be on radio. I was on a few times with Steve Guyland, as I said, uh-huh. but I didn't really get into it until just 3 years ago now.
Yeah. We've got 7 radio stations in this building.
Right.
Each one of our stations has at least, with the exception of one, no, actually no, all of them. Has at least 2 places on the dial where you can hear them. Like, for example, here on The Truth, you can hear us in St. Augustine at 91.9, Jacksonville, Orange Park, the beaches, 91.7, and throughout Southeast Georgia and part of Nassau County, you can hear us at 91.3. And that's just one example. So all together, I think it's around 15 different places on the dial, but 7 different radio stations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you can pretty much hear me on all of them in some form or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a chance to interview Stu Epperson a couple of times, and it's an amazing story how he got started in his barn from his brother's influence, you know, up in North Carolina in a small town, you know, where they lived and raised. But together now they're involved, I think, in 150 different stations and ownership of some
right.
way.
Yeah, all over the country.
Yeah.
From
it's a big influence, really.
From Hawaii to Florida.
Right,
every
right.
place in between, yeah. pretty much.
So your voice is probably heard in many cities, isn't it, as you do things?
Well, not through this particular group, but, yeah, I do a lot of freelance production work.
Oh, do you?
People call me to ask me to do their messages and hold services, and I do TV voiceover ads and audio books. And, like I mentioned earlier in the interview, one of the cable channels, at least for a while, they haven't called me in a while, had me doing a lot of their commercials and station promos.
Okay.
That was all over North America on cable TV.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. So you've gotten to probably meet a lot of artists through the years, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of Christian artists, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, who are the ones that you stuck out the most in your mind that have had the biggest impact, maybe not just to you, but to the audiences that you've played their music to?
Impact, I don't know if I would, you know, call it impact, but I'd probably say ones that have been the most interesting to meet and probably the most interesting nuances, probably Toby Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Toby Mac, at the time when I met him, was the leader of a group called DC Talk.
Oh, yeah.
And the radio station back then would host these concerts for the community to come out.
Uh-huh.
This is before there were the professional concert promoters. The radio stations would bring them in and mm-hmm. we and churches. And we got a chance to, I got a chance to meet Toby Mac. And just so happened we bumped into each other while coming out of the men's room together. So that's,
okay.
that's how Toby Mac and I met.
No kidding.
I met Martin Luther King III, Martin Luther King Jr.'s son,
really?
The same
wow.
way, coming out of the men's room in Atlanta at the Fox Theater. So I meet people in the men's room, not on purpose, but
yeah,
that's
right.
how it turned out. Yeah. Let's see. Probably one of the more fun interviews I had was with a guy named LL Cool J back when I was in secular radio.
Really? Wow.
He had one song out at the time. Now he's a big, you know, TV star and had all kind of music out, secular. But he thought that it would be so funny to ask people to call in, ask questions, and then give them dumb answers and hang up on them. So that was his whole motif.
That was his theme, huh?
But he was only a teenager at the time, and so was I.
Yeah, okay.
So I remember those. And, you know, met Natalie Grant and,
okay.
And let's see, who else? Gosh, so many. I can't even remember them all.
Yeah.
Carmen.
So what have so you enjoyed many. Doing the most? You've hosted a lot of these shows where it's one song after another, right?
Uh-huh.
And you've even hosted other talk shows and stuff like that. What's well, more enjoyable to you?
Well, currently, I'm up first thing in the morning with Ed Dean on one of the stations here,
yeah.
WBOB 600 and 101.1 FM from 6 to 9. I do the news, screen the calls, do the traffic, and banter back and forth when I can with Ed about politics.
Yeah.
And then, gosh, I think probably the most fun I have, to be honest with you, is making commercials. Really enjoy getting creative, and one of the reasons I like that is I get a chance to do all as many do-overs as I can to get it perfect.
Yeah.
Live radio, you mess up and sorry, it's out there.
Yeah. Well, you helped me with one just recently. We did because of the event coming up this Thursday with Transformation Jacksonville. That's
right.
Going to be a big event. I expect about 300 people there, pastors and business people. All praying for the city and praying for in neighborhoods as well. In fact, the guy was going to come speak, Jay Palahniuk, I hope I pronounced that right anyway, wrote a book about Anointed for the Neighborhood, the idea that we're to pray for our neighbors and we're to get to know them. And that's one of the beautiful things about Transformation Jacksonville. They've got a whole map of the city. So you can go to that, your house, and you can tell about who all the neighbors are around you. It's amazing. You can pray for them by name.
That's great.
I love that. That I get that email for them every Friday to remind me to pray for them. And but it's a great ministry, and Tom McLeod is actually taken over from Peter Church, so they merged a couple of ministries together. And Peter Church, again, from South Africa, but had a great impact on our city here, particularly bringing unity in the city. Among pastors and business people and such. So it's been exciting. So what Christian testimony besides your own there with particularly having that man's life turned around from committing suicide had a great impact on you?
You know what? Sadly, there are a lot of people who deal with really severe depression. And I can think of another young lady who she wasn't planning on taking anyone else's life, but she was going to take her own life.
Okay.
And we were at the first position on the dial. So if there's ever a power surge and all the radios have to reset, very often they would go back to, where we were on the dial at that time.
Okay.
When people put their radio back on, apparently that had happened. Maybe there was a thunderstorm or something in the area.
Uh-huh.
And she normally listened to the rock and roll station, but when her radio came back on, it happened to have been on the station the frequency we were on at the time, and turned it on and started hearing songs about the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Liked the music, liked the beat, so she continued to listen, but then heard the words. And then someone came on and, offered some encouragement and gave a phone number if you need prayer. So she called that number. She was prepared to take her life that night with a drug overdose, an intentional drug overdose. Totally changed it around. She's now a wife and Christian mother. On her way to heaven one day.
Gave her life
to the Lord. Yeah, that kind of thing happens, believe it or not, quite a bit when it comes to Christian broadcasting.
I guess so. Well, the third day, that singing group, they have told a story from the stage. And there was a guy with a video camera on his phone, videotaped the story of this young man who we had heard about it, learned about it. In fact, they got to meet the young man. But anyway, he's going out to commit suicide in his car. And on his way, he was going to drive himself off the cliff, is what he was trying to do.
Mm.
And he ends up flipping around to the dial, and he's in a terrible area around through mountains and all this kind of stuff. And he can't be, but this one station comes on, and it's the Christian station. And his third day singing, "Cry out to Jesus, cry out to Jesus." And he's so touched and moved by it, and the words especially, that he he says, okay, so he committed his life right there on this mountaintop with the radio playing, okay, and gave his life to Christ and was able to turn around and leave. So,
It's amazing the impact that interesting technology, media technology is making. Right. And, of course, we're seeing a lot of different changes these days with social media being involved with what we do. And even with the truth, you know, we've got an app. People can go to where they get apps for their phone. If you have an iPhone, it's yes. the App Store. If you have an Android phone, it's the Google Play Store. You can do a search for WTRJ. And we're not limited to just this area from St. Augustine to Southeast Georgia. You literally can listen to us anywhere in the world, and people tune in, and their lives are impacted by the program programs we play here on the station.
That's right. Well, this show's got podcasts out, of course, you know, through the station. Mm-hmm. Is it Podcast Central, I think it is? And then
I believe so, yes.
And then we have our own podcast going on as well. So you're right. And I've even listened to the show on iTunes or listened to the station on, mm-hmm. not iTunes, what is it? It's iTunes or something? What's it
tune
called?
TuneIn Radio, yeah.
That's it, TuneIn Radio,
the
yeah.
The TuneIn app, yes.
Yeah.
There are different ways people would listen. And literally, we used to watch it a lot more closely than we currently do because we're just so busy. But back when we first started doing it, we would get tracking reports. We didn't know who was listening, but we knew, you know, what country they were in.
Really?
And okay. We had significant numbers of people listening in Europe, in South America, in the Caribbean.
That's
we had people listening in Africa, Asia, Australia, all over the world, you know, to the same things we're hearing here locally. And we can only trust that people's lives are being touched.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
So you have to head out of here now? Or?
I do. There's other things. That's my alarm to warn me. I need to go head down the office. But thank you, John, for
having
me
here. Roger. Thank you for showing up and sharing with us, sharing your wisdom and your experiences. Appreciate them.
Yeah,
that's Roger Henderson. Again, listen to him on all these stations, really. The truth, of course. Anyway, this is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're all about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, everyday miracles. Now, I can't wait to tell some people about the story of that he told earlier about the man that was going to commit suicide and kill a bunch of other people at a Huntley Jiffy store years ago, and how he was able to talk him out of that and get the police there. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. You know, my favorite scripture is something I'm just drawn back to all the time because it's something that I really, God has used in me and helped me grow as an individual and a person, and that is in 1 Corinthians 2:14. I say 2:14 because that's kind of the essence of it, but it's really bigger than that, longer than that, and let me see if I can share some of that with you and give you my feedback and some of my own personal experiences with that, because God has a purpose, again, to take us out of the darkness and bring us into the light. Because I was out chasing my own success. My mom and dad took me to church, but it was never thinking about a personal relationship. It was always about a religion, always about, you know, the Bible is good. And I even remembered that I had to memorize the books of the Bible. And that was part of my Sunday school assignment, which I hated. Didn't see any reason for it. Didn't have any understanding of it. You know, my parents were good, solid people. And you see, people would say, well, they're good Christian people. Well, they were in moral ways. And thank God they were, because I learned a lot from them. And I got good standards to measure up against. But what happened is that I didn't know the Lord in a personal way, never heard anything about that. Went to church with my wife for probably 15 years, never heard anything about a personal relationship until one day I had this enemy, this demon come to me in a dream, not a dream, but actually in the back of my mind as I'm driving to an appointment, and this demon is trying to get me down and I'm trying to get him down. So it was back and forth, and that battle went on for a couple of years, but the breakthrough became the night that happened, because I watched on TV this show of a businessman from Los Angeles interviewing an attorney from Toronto, Canada, and the attorney said, you know, my whole life changed when I turned it over to Jesus Christ, stopped trying to live my life for myself and started living it for him. And that just pierced my heart. I started to cry. I knew for the first time that God was real and active in people's lives. But I never heard it from a pulpit. I never heard it from and then we're in a church. I never heard it except on a businessman. And I got involved in that group called Full Gospel Businessmen for probably 5 or 6 years. They kind of neutralized after a while. They still exist, I guess, in other parts of the world, but not very much here in the United States, even though there's other groups that have tried to crop up and take their place. But God has a purpose for all that. He allowed me to suffer the anguish and the pain and to commit to Him. I did the next day in the hotel room in Fort Lauderdale. I gave my life to Christ, took my Bible, my King James Version with me, thinking, and I told my wife, I'm going to be praying. God thinks this is the answer. And there in the hotel was this prayer in the back of this paperback Bible of the Days Inn. I'll never forget it. Love that. For them doing that, and it had the sinner's prayer, and I gave my life to Christ, asked Him to forgive me from all my sins, all my ignorance, all my stupidness that I had done, not being what the world would call a bad person. In fact, I was called a good guy in my college fraternity because I didn't drink, didn't run around with women, didn't do any of that garbage stuff, but I was morally strong, but not spiritually. I had no understanding of that. So it says in 1 Corinthians 2:6, we do not speak, this is Paul speaking, we do not speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. We are coming to nothing if we do all of that, if we just speak the words of this age. No, we speak the word of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for they had their world all caught up in evil, and they had not been crucified by the Lord, crucified by Christ and in through Christ. But God revealed Himself to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who amongst you knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Within him, we all have a body, soul, and a spirit. In the same way, no other man's thoughts of God except the Spirit of God can live in him. And God knows the Spirit. God knows. Yeah, and our spirit is either open or empty or caught up in the spirit of the world. But we have not received a spirit of evil. We received a spirit who is from God, and that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak of. Not in words taught by human language and human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. That's what I was lacking. I had a spirit, but it was empty. I didn't have my spirit plugged into the power source, and that is Jesus Christ, the love of God. I was just trying to do my own thing, doing the world's thing. And so expressing spiritual truth in the spiritual words of God is what He wants us to do. The man without the Spirit, this is the key words here, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That was my problem. I had no spiritual discernment. I had no connectivity with the Spirit of God. You know, I call myself a Christian. Of course I did. Did I believe in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. I went to church, you know, every Sunday practically, except a few times I told my wife, it's so boring there. I think I'll stay home, watch some pastor on TV or even do some of the work I got to do from the office because I'm not learning anything in church. And my wife says, you're not supposed to learn anything in church. Okay. I said, okay. Well, that's the way I feel about it anyway. But she would drag our four kids there if I wasn't there. But that was 98% of the time I was there too. But it was just pure boredom for me. But now I have the mind of Christ. The spirit man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. But we have the mind of Christ, those of us who have committed our lives to serve him. we then have the minds of Christ. As long as you forgive, ask God to forgive you your sins, the mistakes, the stupid things you've done, and say, Lord, take over this life. You become my Lord. I'll serve you, and I'll go where you call me to go. That's what God wants, and that's where all of a sudden he becomes alive in you, and you sense it. You feel peace, love, and joy you never experienced before. That's what happened to me. I cried, and I repented, and I just had all kinds of joy started coming over me. Now, did it all end there? No, of course not, because it's a long journey, you know. But that became the beginning of my life-changing experience. You know, God has a purpose for all of us to grow in him and through him and be affected by his calling. I love that we had Dick Erickson with Sun Tire Fame speak to one of our wise counselor groups before. And he says, you know, I learned obedience in the military. I was a kid that raised in a farm in North Dakota, but in a military, you had to be obedient. And you know what? That's what God wants, too. He wants us to be obedient. Yes, he'll let us fly off. He gave us free will. We can do just about anything within bounds, of course, because there are laws in our society, all coming from the Ten Commandments. That's what the Founding Fathers did, is they actually used the Bible as their guide to develop the Constitution. So there are laws against murdering people and raping people and lying, stealing, cheating, and all that kind of stuff. You know, the moral commandments of the Ten Commandments, it's all about character as well as another aspect of God's commandment, and then finally spiritual truth, which again the world does not, our nation does not say you have to be a committed Christian or you have to be a born-again Christian. It doesn't say that in our laws. Benjamin Franklin said, well, God gave free will, we have to give free will too, but we're going to give the other standards that God commands of us and wants us to partake in and use in our society. I got some of the famous quotes that I appreciate so much. Some of our very Christian and some are not. But here's one that I share with people. The faith of a little child is open, teachable, vulnerable, and open to risk. That's what God wants from us, because he says the faith of a little child is really what he's asking is to have that same kind of faith, that same kind of tenderness, that kind of openness. That's why the Word of God is so important. The Word of God is stronger than a double-edged sword. It separates bone from marrow, soul from spirit. It judges the attitudes and thoughts of the heart and the soul in the name of Jesus Christ. And so the whole idea is get into the Word, because God is the Word. As you read it, it'll start to come alive in you. It'll start to fill that emptiness in the Spirit within you and give you more faith, more trust, more openness, more teachability. As Creator, God is connected to our DNA and left enough room in our inadequacy to find him. That's that openness, the emptiness that's in you that God says, I want to come in and fill that for you. I want to bring you joy. I want to have the design and the destiny I have with you fulfilled. Even if you're 90 years old, he says, I still want to do it. He may live to be another 10 years longer. You know, God has a purpose from that. And he wants to assure we're going to get to heaven as well. We do that by being a believer, and a believer is not just, hey, I believe in Jesus Christ. Everybody does who has any common sense, but it's really about a belief is the word trust. That's really what the Bible is saying, the word trust in God. Turn your life to trust him and live in him and abide in he. To a man of faith, no explanation is necessary. To a man without faith, no explanation is plausible. That's a good quote, isn't it? Successful people are always looking for opportunities to help others. Unsuccessful people are always asking, what's in it for me? That's a great quote from Brian Tracy. Well, that's where the difference is. Successful people are always looking for ways to help people because they are seeking God's ways. They're seeking the fulfillment of God. They sense God in their heart. They want to help other people any way that they can. Unsuccessful people are always asking, what's in it for me? Well, that's because they're self-centered. It's all about me. I want to be, and I was doing that. I wanted to be successful in from my eyes and what the world was telling me. And it was fame, power, money, you know, achievement, all those things. God does, but God told me one time, you know, you worship the false god of accomplishment. I think that's true of most men. We don't want to get out of here with accomplishing something. And like other people would call it, leaving your mark. you know. Here's what St. Francis said. It's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walk is preaching to us and preaching in us, through us. It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. That's like walk your talk, right? How many people are doing that? Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe. That's Abraham Lincoln said that one. That is so powerful because that's what God wants us to do with the Word of God. To get into relationship, to get into a good teaching church, a place where we can study the Bible on our own as well and start even listening to good shows that'll be inspirational, like hopefully Inspiration 316 has been for you. God want, and that's sharpening our axe. The more we have faith, the more we have trust, the more we turn to Him, the more we're sharpening our axe, and it'll take less time to cut down that tree or cut down that obstacle or cut down that thing that's in front of you that seems like a mountain and no way that I could overcome it. God has a purpose in all of us, a plan. He created us for His pleasure. Our job is to love Him and Him love us in return. And He's already loving us through Christ dying on the cross. There's nothing we can do to stop Him from loving us. Nothing we can do. Even taking someone else's life, He still will love us, even though He doesn't want that to happen. He's against that. But the idea is that He still wants to love us, no matter where we are or where we might be even incarcerated somewhere. Well, thanks for joining us. This is John Beener with Inspiration 316. This has been an unusual show. We've had Roger Henderson, the famous man here in Jacksonville with the radio business of Christian radio. You've heard his voice. You can't be out of the city and not heard his voice. And then I share some of the testimonies and statements and scripture here with you. There's some of the wisdom things that God keeps teaching me about. I find it joy to get into the Word of God. So thanks for joining us. Hope to see you again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
The Inspiration 316 Show with John Beener. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.
Thank you for joining us for Inspiration 316 and John Beener. Coming up next, it's First Baptist Church of downtown Jacksonville here on listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth.
Hi, this is John Beener with Inspiration 316. Love to have you be our guest for the Transformation Jacksonville Prayer. Breakfast is coming up this Thursday at the Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Beautiful place to come. We got free tickets for those people who can make it from ministry or business. Love to have you join us or either other guests. All you have to do is go to tjax.org and sign up there. All you have to do is pay $5 for parking. Your breakfast is covered because we got sponsors. We got a great speaker coming from Colorado talking about the art of neighboring, written a great book on that. And Sheriff Williams is going to make some comments about our city and where we're heading. Love to have you join us again. June 28th at the Hyatt Regency. Join us 7 to 9 a.m. Go to tjax.org and register for a free ticket to come. It's a $40 thing normally, but we're going to be our guest and the guest of other sponsors. Love to have you join us.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Christians and conservatives have a pair of reasons to cheer today, and they come in the form of two separate U.S. Supreme Court rulings. The first upheld the Trump travel ban, and the ruling 5-4, with the lead justice writing for the majority that the president has the power to decide what the immigration policy should be, and also refuting the argument that it is anti-Muslim at its core. In a separate ruling, the high court set a California law that forces pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to provide information about abortion violates the constitutional right to freedom of speech. The 5-4 ruling also casts some doubt on similar laws on the books in Hawaii and Illinois. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up by 30 points, the NASDAQ up by about 30 as well, with the S&P 500 up by 6. This is SRN News.
There's an accident on I-95 southbound before University Boulevard. Another one on I-95 northbound just before University. Also a crash I-10 westbound before US 17 that's heading away from downtown. And another accident on I-95 northbound at Emerson Street heading toward the Fuller Warren Bridge. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, some heavy through this evening. Low 74. Wednesday, mostly sunny. High.